You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 13th of October. What does next year's NBA season look like? Power rankings are out. We're where? And we'll talk a little bit more about what the Lakers taught us. Our NBA team of the day is the Indiana Pacers, who are certainly interesting. And our free agent is old friend Jay Crowder. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA Insider. This is Locked On Jazz. It's your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way more fun to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you're just grabbing us in the offseason, we're going to take you all the way up to free agency and the draft by looking at a team every day, free agents every day, and draft prospects throughout the process. But we still have some NBA finals recap and look ahead to the season stuff we're doing today. I'm going to make sure I get some time in with a little Arizona star for you and give you a draft breakdown on tomorrow's show. Today's show. All right, let's get to one of the things I think is interesting. I actually go back to the Jazz. What was it, like, third game of the year this year? We played the Lakers, and actually at halftime, we were ahead, and at halftime they swapped Anthony Davis to the center and moved Alex Caruso into the starting lineup, which is ironically how they closed the series against the, I guess it was our second game of the year. This was on October 25th. It was almost a year ago. And if you recall, you know, we were really playing pretty well. And then they blasted us in the third quarter, 31-18. And they made that switch. And leaving that night, talking to the coaches, all they could talk about was the incredible length of the Lakers. The incredible length. And last year, we played the Raptors. And all our coaches, you know, you talk to the coaches afterwards, and all they're talking about is the insane speed of the Raptors. And so you had these kind of, that stuck with me. This year, the conversation was the exact opposite. It was a different characteristic. It was the length of the Lakers. Just, we couldn't get shots off. We couldn't get what we wanted. Our effective field goal percentage that night was 47. We shot 41 overall. Donovan actually was all right, but like Mike was 3 of 11, and Jeff Green actually started for us that night, trying to deal with some of their length because we were so small. So we were still trying to figure out who we were. And that was the kind of takeaway leaving. And so the Lakers, and that's really what happened to Miami, I think, in the series. The dominating characteristic of the Lakers was this amazing length. And it does seem as though each year, if you're going to win the title, you have to, obviously LeBron, obviously Kawhi, obviously one of the great, great players of the game. But then the group around you has to have some really characteristic that is unique to them. And so a year ago, it was the Raptors' speed. This year, it was the Lakers' length. You know, who knows what's next? And, you know, obviously the Warriors, it was speed and shooting, I think, is the game. So there's, and you know, it really also gets down to, like, you just got to be pretty elite athletically. And the Lakers, despite aging, were pretty elite athletically. And we saw that just wear down Miami. So a thought. Kevin Pelton did a really interesting piece on ESPN about LeBron versus Jordan. Zach Lowe did a deep dive. I liked what Pelton did. I liked what Zach did too, but I liked what Pelton did. He did an interesting kind of use of game score and individual performances. And kind of what he found was that over the course of the finals, right? So Jordan's got 6 and LeBron's been a part of, 10 of them, is that LeBron had more kind of duds. Jordan just was at peak performance at an incredible level all the time. The other thing he found that was super interesting is how much better Jordan's teammates were than LeBron's. LeBron really has carried teams to the finals whose his teammates did not do exceptionally well in the finals. It's an interesting piece. It's at ESPN.com. So as we look toward next season, I'm kind of just giving you a bunch of different things here, and then we'll dig in. There are a bunch of lessons, I think, that come out of the bubble. I mean, obviously, the NBA did an incredible job, no COVID positive tests, and we're able to get through this and how to, you know, test and do all the things that, frankly, the country should have been doing instead of absolutely burying their head to everything and try, if we pretend everything's perfect, it will be, approach that didn't work quite as well. So we can't simulate a bubble. And there's something to be watching Major League Baseball right now, as they have 10,000 fans watching these games and the NFL fans watching games. Like, this is a really important time for the NBA. These are all outside, but then can you simulate it inside in a cavernous arena? Probably, or hopefully. And so, you know, these are important times. The other thing I think we learned was some stuff about just playing. And there is a feeling, as I suspected as we went into, that this was the best basketball we've ever seen. That the level of play was exceptional. The injuries, whereas the NFL's having this terrible rash of injuries, the NBA did not. So the NBA ramped up to play very well. But there's something to be said for the fact that, you know, they played every other day. They played without travel. They played a lot, but they played and maintained themselves at their peak. I think this means that we are going to see a fundamental change in how we travel. The league, I think you will start to see that the Oklahoma City Thunder come to Salt Lake and they play two games. Maybe they play back-to-back. Maybe they play, you know, Monday, Wednesday. Who knows? And TV will obviously dictate a lot. But I suspect that you will now travel to every city once a year. In COVID world of 2021 season, I suspect we'll play Oklahoma City four times. I suspect we'll play Portland four times, maybe even five. And you might go there and maybe even six. And it's really what I meant. And maybe you're going to end up, and I meant, when I said four, I meant road. Sorry. So you play them four times. Regularly, you just go there for two. Now we might play them six or eight times. And we'll head down there for a three-game set or a four-game set. Or maybe we'll play them 10 times each. And, you know, in 2021, they're going to reduce the travel. And they're going to reduce the plane flights long-term, the history of the league. So these are two different items. One is COVID 2021. My guess is baseball-style, regionalized schedule, playing your conference opponents more often. You're not going to every NBA city anymore. You're probably, of the 15 Eastern Conference teams, if you do play them all, you're playing half at home and half on the road. You might not even be playing all of them. You're going to probably play... You know, I guess you're going to play one East trip and one West trip, and that's it. Just reduce the travel. And then part two is that you're going to go into these cities, and when you go into Oakland, you're going to go, or San Francisco, you're going to play the Warriors, you know, two or three times in that trip there. Little series. I think it'll be interesting. I think that's going to last long term. So even when we go back to 82-game schedules and you play the Warriors four times, twice on the road and twice at home, Oklahoma City twice, you're just going to go to that city once. It actually doesn't make any sense for us to be traveling the way we were. And the plane flights and the late nights are what cause the fatigue. It's not playing. We've proven now these guys playing at peak level for a continual period of time actually stay healthy and play better. It's the plane flights and the lack of sleep. And I think it's the plane flights, personally. I just think they zap the hell out of you. And we're going to see reduced plane flights. I was actually playing with, I'm sure someone can do it better than I do, Ken. But if you actually look at an NBA schedule, and if in the 14 cities we travel to, we suddenly only travel to them once. Let me just give an example. Let's say we used to go on a road trip where we go to, you know, Oklahoma City. It was never this easy. Dallas, Houston, Memphis, and home. Okay? We'd play three games. We would do five plane flights. Right? We'd fly to Oklahoma City. We'd fly to Dallas. We'd fly to Memphis. Or four plane flights. And we'd fly home. Four plane flights, three games. I think you're now going to go to Oklahoma City and play two games. Let's say you play Monday, Wednesday in Oklahoma City. You play Thursday in Dallas and Saturday in Dallas. And you fly home. You've now played four games and done three plane flights. Instead of three games and 4 plane flights. Over the course of the year, this becomes a dramatic difference. And your next trip, you go to Memphis and San Antonio, and you do the same thing instead of doing that loop again. And now all of a sudden, you've played 8 games and 6 plane flights instead of 6 games and 8 plane flights. And it starts to just go and go and go and go and go. I think we'll do that forever. I think, and actually as a ticket buyer, I would kind of love it. Like, I actually think now you buy a split season ticket, you know you're either going to the first or the second game of the Spurs being home, and you're going to get to see everybody in the Western Conference with your season tickets, and then you split the Eastern Conference, and if there's someone you really want to see, you buy. I think it's really cool. NBA power ranking early, too early, or out, and what? We're where? What? We'll talk about that when we continue today's show, brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, located at 4646 South State Street, also located in Logan and in Linden. If you're looking for a car right now, take a minute and please put Hyundai on the list, because I think what you'll find out is you get more for the dollar, more gadgets, more safety features than you can get anywhere else. Now, you have to decide whether you like the car, you like the way it drives, you like the way it feels. The size and the space inside is incredible. The safety features, the back door that closes if a car's driving by when your kid tries to open it. All those levels, to me, make Murdoch just blow the competition away. And Hyundai blow the competition away. But you got to decide for yourself. But when you do go down there, let's set you up with a VIP meeting, whether it's in Logan, Linden, or in Murray. So email me first at dlock09, and we'll get you set up with a personal meeting so you don't have to deal with that kind of awkward, like, hey, can I help you? Can someone help me? Think that kind of thing. Or the 3 sales guys rushing to you. We'll have it set up. You'll get a customized VIP, you know, slippers and white carpet experience for you at Murdoch Hyundai. Give me an email at dlock09@gmail.com, and make sure you check out the great lineup of SUVs as well as the new Sonata at Murdoch Hyundai. We all know about Built Bar. Well, now there is Built Go. What? Well, today I'm going to knock off one of my bucket list things. Hopefully with my son, we're going to climb Big Cottonwood Canyon. And what am I going to have in my back pouch? I'm going to have a Built Go. Easy to take in 1.5-ounce packages. Built Go, you can put it in your briefcase, your golf bag. I'm putting it in the back of my bike jersey today. Is the best workout gel on the market. It's like 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. 3 delicious flavors. Peanut butter, honey. Not for me. Nut allergy. Chocolate, coconut, and chocolate mint. Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen is a fast-absorbing, so it gets into your system fast and it makes it easy on your stomach. Built goes loaded with good stuff like all the beta-alanine and the B3 and the honey and a kick of caffeine. It's Built Go. It gets you stronger, gets you going. Visit BuiltGo.com. Use the promo code LOCKED and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKED and you'll get 20% off your next order. Want to say a special thank you to those that leave us the 5-star reviews on iTunes. They do matter. Much appreciated. Kind of fun also because every now and then people have used it as a way to communicate with me. So I do check them every now and then. I'm flattered that we have, the 1,200 reviews that we have and a 5-star overall rating. But wanted to take a second and thank some of our most recent ones. JazzBabe01 says it's the best podcast out there. Go Jazz, and talked about the Boycott podcast. So thank you very much. And Dylan F129, everyone said shooting was unsustainable. We've done it for 3 games. How long is it going to last? That was in August. It didn't last long enough. Thank you guys very much. We appreciate the reviews. All right. So the NBA power rankings are out. We're 13th. Like, did we suddenly just become average? Here's what's more daunting. Lakers 1, Clippers 2, Denver 3rd in the West, 4th overall. Dallas, 5th overall, 4th in the West. Golden State, 6th overall, 5th in the West. So the 5 of the top 6 teams are West, of course. Then Rockets, I guess they still have Harden and Westbrook for all their problems. 12th, 6th in the West. Jazz, 13th, 7th in the West. Blazers, 14th, 8th in the West. Thunder, 15th, 9th in the West. So the Thunder not making the playoffs after last year? Pelicans, 17th, 10th in the West. What? Grizzlies, 18th, 11th in the West. Suns, 19th, 12th in the West. So 12 of the top 19 teams are in the West. A lot of really good teams. They have the Thunder, Pelicans, Grizzlies, Suns not making the playoffs and have us at 7th. Really? I mean, this is kind of where I actually think everyone's undervaluing Rudy. Like, we're just going to be good. We're going to be good enough in all realms because we have Rudy, frankly. I mean, we have Donovan too, but like, Rudy's the unique talent that people, I think, kind of don't always grasp and understand what he brings to the table. And so that's part of it. At least I'm hoping. I was a little surprised by that. Anybody else? A little daunting. Lakers, pretty hard to argue with. Clippers, hard to argue with. Denver, hard to argue with. Denver's going to lose a little bit due to cap. Like, they'll likely lose Millsap. I don't think they can get everyone back. They probably lose Plumlee. They have Bull. They have Porter. They might be getting better. Dallas has some. We went through Dallas's roster. They've got some interesting pieces. Porzingis had another surgery yesterday. If you listen on Locked On Mavericks, Nick and Isaac broke that down. Warriors come back with Steph, Clay, Draymond, Anthony Wiggins, and a first pick of the draft. Or early pick of the draft. Rockets are interesting because of their financial troubles. And we're, you know, we have the luxury. We can kind of roll this roster back out with like one little addition. Right? We can sign Jordan, sign one other free agent, roll the same roster back out if we like it. Or we can try to disrupt it immensely. All right, let's look at the Indiana Pacers today. That's our roster we're looking at. The most interesting, the Pacers, by the way, are at $124 million active cap. So they're over the cap. They're not touching on the luxury tax. Kevin Pritchard's done a nice job with their tax. Here, and they don't have, like, their big kind of contract is a $20 million Malcolm Brogdon deal. They have two massive questions that they have to answer before this is over. So the two massive questions that they have to answer before this is over is, do they really believe that Domantas Sabonis and Miles Turner can play together? And the answer is probably not. And they drafted Goga, who's probably a decent backup center. And then what are they doing with Victor Oladipo? So let's walk through where they are and their roster and what they have. Malcolm Brogdon, they have signed last year, $20 million, 21, 22. He's on the books for the next 3 years. TJ McConnell is their backup point guard, but they also have Aaron Holiday, who they really like, and they probably don't need TJ McConnell. And actually, if they don't release TJ McConnell before free agency, he gets $1 million kicker. So I actually think there's a chance they're going to let TJ McConnell go and then turn this over to Aaron Holiday. Victor Oladipo is the crazy case for them. $21 million, seems a little disgruntled, has the injuries, and is extension eligible. I mean, this is a guy who, prior to the injury, was absolutely, you know, at the peak, frankly, great comp for Donovan Mitchell. Right? 2 years ago, 17-18, he's at 23 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. He's just a force. In the 18-19 season, he plays 36 games. And last year in the truncated season, this year he plays 19. He gets that massive quad injury on January 23rd of 2019. And we don't see him again from January 23rd until he finally plays again on January 29th, fairly limited, not very good. Then coming out of the bubble, he's like, I'm not going to play. Then he finds out he's not going to get paid. So then he plays 5 games in the bubble in the regular season, played as many as 37 minutes in a game, but he only shot 39%. And then Indiana just gets waxed by Miami. He plays the third games 2, 3, and 4. He shoots 41%, 37% from 3. Like, it's not clear at all who he is. I mean, he's really the perfect compliment. Like, he is Donovan. Like, the, if you ever got two of them together, they'd be amazing. Like, you'd be strong and physical and both good enough ball handlers. Both not probably pure point guards, but it doesn't matter. Oh, it'd be great. So, like, I think there's a real chance Indiana tries to move Oladipo, but I'm not sure who takes Oladipo. And then you add that Jeremy Lamb got hurt. And Jeremy Lamb, I think it's unlikely that we see, you know, Jeremy Lamb anytime soon. And so now all of a sudden, if you're looking at, you know, what you're going to do, he's got a torn ACL. Like, we're in 11, 12 months, and it was a pretty bad one. And I think that was February 24th. Like, 12 months gets us probably to, you know, so midway through the beginning of the next season, he's probably back. I mean, this delay actually works for him. But, like, are they willing to rely on, you know, what are they doing there? So it's interesting. Oladipo's $21 million doesn't go get them an Otto Porter or a Kevin Love or a Mike Conley max $31 million contract. I mean, Mike Conley's interesting, just bringing it up because he's from Indiana, but they don't need, like, Malcolm Brogdon's their point guard. And they have Aaron Holiday. Like, it doesn't really match to them. So they have Lamb at $11 million is injured. Then they have TJ Warren, who was brilliant in the bubble, at $12 million. What a contract. Doug McDermott at $7 million. They don't really have a power forward because they have Sabonis and Turner, and they're playing one of them as the power forward. And then they're free eight. They've got to figure out what they're doing in regards to free agents. Justin Holiday is a free agent for them. And that's about it. Justin Holiday is now 31. I can't believe that. So this is a really interesting roster and a team to keep an eye on. One, I think Doug McDermott's fabulous. Like, I would love Doug McDermott on my roster at $7 million. I don't know how you get him, but that's a player that, you know, despite now, maybe in the playoffs, Doug McDermott's not that playable. Right? I mean, we just seen if you have a defensive liability out there, it is hard to play him. And Miami went at Doug McDermott. Right? Doug McDermott for Indiana suddenly was playing, I think, about 13 minutes in the playoffs. So I like Doug McDermott. I think he's plays well, moves it, shoots it incredibly well. But maybe, you know, you suddenly look in that playoff series, he went from 17 to 13 to 15 to 8. You know, and shot 2 of 10 from 3. And shot 4 of 15 overall. Like, well, maybe he's actually, you know, maybe he actually is a regular season player. And when teams suddenly get playoff prepared and dig into him a little bit, it's hard for him to play. And when Indiana got swept the year before, he only played 9 minutes and he didn't make a three. He went 0 for 7. He's 2 for 17 in the playoffs in his last 2 years and 6 of 25 from the field his last 2 years. Maybe, you know, Doug McDermott might really be a regular season player. There's a huge difference between being able to do these things in play compared to scouting reports. Like, you see a player who's got one set of numbers in the regular season and another set of numbers in the playoffs that are dramatically different for multiple years in a row. And what you have is team scouting. And the scouting's just that different. And that, you know, so Doug McDermott fits that. So Indiana's really interesting. What do they do about Miles Turner and Domantas Sabonis? And then what do they do about Victor Oladipo? And then is there a way for another team to profit off that? You know, I think TJ McConnell's interesting as a backup point guard, but I thought he was really interesting last year at the minimum. I'm not sure I think he's interesting at $3 million. I don't think they'll think he's interesting at $3 million either, frankly. So I think they'll turn it over to Aaron Holiday, and then they'll play Brogdon and Holiday and probably play them some together, and Oladipo if they don't move him. And TJ Warren's your three, and then they just really need a four as they try to figure out what they're doing with Turner and Sabonis. Interesting roster. Jay Crowder, our good friend, is our free agent profile coming up next. We'll look at him compared to 95 other wings, courtesy of B-Ball Index. Today's show is brought to you in part by The Store, located at 6200 South and 20th East. It's The Store. They make me happy when I go to The Store because you get that community vibe. You get mudslide cookies, so I get my sugar endorphins. I grab my kombuchas. They have all the stuff made in the back with the various cooked meals, the brisket from Logan, the various other things ready to cook for you. They're just fabulous. Then, you know, you got to go back to, you see them making their salsa. You get that community feel. At 6200 South 20th East, Cottonwood Ace is also connected right there to the store. Stop by Fridays and Saturdays. They had the wood fire oven going all summer. It was great. Hopefully they'll still continue to do that because those pizzas are just terrific. Downtown is the Gateway store right across from the Children's Museum. Wednesdays have the sushi discounts going for you with Sushi Day. Make sure you grab those and go. They've got the meals there for you. They've made all the COVID adjustments. They battled through getting no power for 4 days. It's been an incredible year for our good friends at the store. Go support them. 6200 South, 20th East. Stop by and see my friends at the store as well as down at the Gateway. Today's show is also brought to you by rockauto.com. Unique catalog. Reliably low prices and all the parts your car will ever need. It's rockauto.com. The amazing selection is what is the game changer. Rather than going into the brick and mortar store, the traditional chain storefront, seeming intimidated, getting questions about this or that or what parts, go and control it yourself. Go to rockauto.com. Plug in all of the things you need about your car and find out what selection's there and choose the brands and the prices that are right for you. The lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do, like so many stores do, or based on their selection. RockAuto.com is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, the brands, the specifications, and the prices you prefer. Always reliably low prices. Always the same prices for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much? Well, don't spend twice as much. Just go to RockAuto.com and you'll see all the parts available. Right? Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us section box so they know who sent you. That's Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us section. All right, let's look at our buddy Jay Crowder. 30 years old, now 6'6", 235. Why would we want Jay Crowder? Well, do you slide Jay Crowder to the 4, Boyan to the 3, and you actually get a little bigger, or you're interchangeable? It's kind of an interesting idea. You bring a little toughness. He and Boyan would be tough. He's a not great shooter. As we saw in the playoffs, he can be really good or really bad. We saw it for us and for him. We know he'll draw 2 or 3 fouls. If there's anybody that draws more 3-point fouls, I'll be stunned. You know, this year he shot 34% from three. His last year with us, he shot 31. The year before that, he shot 32. The year before that, he shot 32. He had the one outlier year at 39%, but I think he's a 33, 34% 3-point shooter at high volume with pretty good gravity. Let's see what B-ball index. We know him. Let's see if B-ball index backs up what we know about him. So they have him basically as a small forward wing. His best qualities are perimeter defense, playmaking, defensive rebounding, and off-ball movement. He is really good off the ball. He's really good. All right, let's check what it says about him. Usage rate looks to be about league average, right? It's regular percentile. He's not asking for a huge amount of his total offensive load. His touches per game are a little high. He's pretty comfortable with the ball in his hands for his position. They say his lineup talent he's played with is a C-. His offensive talent, B-, defensive talent, C-. His lineup spacing he's played with this year is an F, which is really interesting because we're an A, and so he would get many more open looks with us than he was getting. His matchup difficulty, which is an estimated degree of difficulty rating for specific players had to guard based on data capturing, is an A. So Miami and Memphis really used him guarding their best players. Let's look at his 3-point shooting. His overall is a D. His pull-up 3-point shooting is actually better. It's a B-. His catch-and-shoot's a D- for a wing player. And his above-the-break shooting is a D+. And his corner 3 is a D. I think we kind of knew that, actually. What's interesting is how unopen he is. Like, we felt, though, they left him wide open all the time. Percentage of 3-point shots open, he gets an F. 11% of the time, he was open. His gravity as a 3-point shooter is an A-. He has always had huge gravity. His 3-point shot quality, he gets an F. I think we'd all kind of know that. And his 3-point foul rate is an A. So you actually have to kind of equate it in the fact that about 4% of his 3-point shots, he gets fouled. And that should, that, you know, then he makes his free throws. That helps his percentage. As a one-on-one isolation player, he grades out as an F, total isolation effective field goal percentage a D, and he did not draw a foul all year on an isolation drive. Pretty interesting. His finishing, His drive percentage with Memphis and Miami was an F. His overall finishing is an F. Total shots at the rim is a D minus. Getting to the rim rating is an F. Driver pass out rating is a C plus, but his assist rate is an A minus. Good for him. And his adjusted field goal percentage at the rim, which is adjusted for players of lower volumes to help kind of them out, is a C plus, but overall not great. Off ball movement, he's always been very good. He gets a B minus, B off a screen, C off cuts. Playmaking assists, he gets a B. He will move it. Passing versatility, he gets an A. Passing efficiency, he gets a C minus. Overall playmaking, a C plus. Roll gravity, not much. Post play, not much. Offensive rebounding, a D. Defensive rebounding, an A minus. So pretty good defensive rebounder. We need defensive rebounding. Perimeter defense. He gets an A minus for turnover rate, an A minus for loose ball rate, a B for pickpocketing, a B for passing lane defense. We may have really missed his defense when you swap those minutes for Boyan. We got much better shooting. But the, you know, the quantum change we made is we became an offensive team with a small margin of error defensively instead of being a defensive team with a small margin of error offensively. Three-point contest, he gets a B. Steals, he gets a B+. Deflections, he gets a B. Not hunted in perimeter. Defensive matchups, he guarded mega creators and primary creators a lot more than average. He had the tough defensive matchups. It's an interesting idea. If you put him with Boyan, you can protect Boyan a little bit. You put him and Royce O'Neal out on the floor together, you're certainly not athletic, but you're strong as hell. And Boyan. Boyan's a big boy. Tier defense, he gets a C. Rim deterrence, he gets an F. That's not a surprise. He guarded tier one guys, 83 percentile, 21% of the time, and tier two, 99 percentile. So, I mean, he really was guarding the number one or two defensive matchups at 30 years old. So he has become a defensive player that's a high volume, low average three-point shooter with who can play with the ball in his hands a little bit. Here's what the advanced metrics said about him. Going to Jacob Goldstein's player impact, C+, offense C+, defense C. Real plus minus, C minus, offense A minus, defense F, surprised. Raptor, D plus, C plus, offense, D, defense. On-off Raptor, F, oh, that we don't use that. Box plus minus, C, C, B minus. Yeah. Like, does what he does it fit your team? He's not a complete player, but high volume, three-point shooter, good defense around him, physical, strong, who can defend. His effective field goal percentage ranking is a D. His points per shot is a D minus. His transition, he's not a great athlete, but his pick and roll play is actually better than you'd suspect. And his spot up is an F. You know, he's really not a great catch and shoot guy. He's just a high volume one who has great gravity for whatever reason. He always has. He's interesting. What will Miami do? Miami's going to only offer him a one-year deal because Miami is clear in the decks to make the Giannis run or the other free agents next year. Is there something that somebody can do where they offer Jay Crowder more than a one-year deal? It's an interesting free agent to me. But Miami has got Jimmy Butler signed for 21-22 and Andre Iguodala signed and Tyler Hero signed. Oh, actually, Iguodala's a club option. They don't have him signed. And that's it. They have Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero signed for 2021, and they're not adding more to that deal. They're going to sign everybody to one-year contracts. So if somebody wants to give Jay multiple years, I think they're going to probably be able to have him. That is Locked On Jazz today. We'll try to take a look at Arizona's Josh Green by tomorrow, and we will look at the LA Clippers and free agent Justin Holiday. It is Locked On Jazz. Thank you very much for tuning in. Take a second and tune in to Rejecting the Screen with Noah Kozlov and Adam Stanko on the Locked On Podcast Network.